Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Crossover Wednesday again here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I will be joined today by James Rapine of Locked On Bengals. He and I are going to talk about a huge matchup this weekend between the Steelers and Bengals. Look, I know Chiefs-Patriots is going to get all the publicity in the national media, and that's a huge game in the AFC, huge game in the NFL, two of the best teams. Of course, the Chiefs are on a roll right now. They just ran right through the Jacksonville Jaguars a week ago and look to do the same against defending AFC champion New England Patriots. But this Steelers-Bengals game is right there with it in my eyes. This is a humongous game for both teams and really a barometer game for both teams. For a Bengals team that's 4-1, I think there's a lot of thought in Cincinnati that, you know, they have to get by the Steelers before they're going to consider this a real team. And for Steeler fans, for us, right, we're sitting here thinking, okay, yeah, we beat the Falcons, but much like when the Steelers beat the Bucks, you go that next week into the division game, then it was against Baltimore, and you think, okay, if you can get by Baltimore, now we'll believe this, you know, season back on again. I think the same can be said this week against Cincinnati. If this team can go into Cincinnati and win this game, I think we're all going to start really believing in this football team again. But until then, I think we're all taking this wait-and-see approach, and rightly so. The Falcons, again, they're a 1-4 football team. Yes, the Steelers beat them, and yes, they beat them soundly. But there's a big difference between beating a Falcons team that was going on the road to Pittsburgh and then going to Cincinnati and beating a red-hot Cincinnati Bengals team. So we're going to talk about that with James Rapine today. Also today, we'll go over what Tomlin talked about at his Tuesday press conference and give you an injury report as well. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcast, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. Find us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, or go to Instagram and find us on there as well, Locked On Steelers on Instagram. And let's start today with some news and notes. Former Steelers safety Mike Mitchell signing with the Indianapolis Colts on Tuesday. Mitchell kind of caught in that logjam at safety this offseason. A lot of big-name safeties that were not able to find jobs or just took a while to find jobs. Trey Boston, Eric Reed. I mean, these are starter-caliber safeties. Glad to see Mitchell landing on his feet in Indianapolis. Look, I'm not sure that Mitchell is a starter-capable safety anymore, and I think that's a large reason why the Steelers wanted to part ways with him during the offseason. But again, I'm glad to see him land on his feet in Indianapolis. Wish him the best of luck with the Colts. And then wide receiver Damone Patterson, who was a standout at Steeler training camp and certainly early in the preseason. He had that hamstring injury at the end of preseason, which meant it was very tough for the Steelers to keep him around on the practice squad. In fact, he did not get kept on the practice squad and has been kind of a free agent since. He has signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their practice squad. So again, wish him the best of luck there. He is, again, as I said, he was a standout at training camp. One of those young guys that I think a lot of Steeler fans were hoping that could stick around on the practice squad. Of course, that hamstring injury put a stop to that. And so Damone Patterson ends up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their practice squad. During Tuesday's press conference, Mike Tomlin saying he is sticking by Chris Boswell even after another extra point miss on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. Tomlin said that Boswell has been clutch for this team so many times. He's earned their trust. And yeah, while yes, he is going through a bit of a funk here, the Steelers are going to work with him to get through it. I'm glad to hear that. Look, last thing the Steelers need right now is to go through a transition at kicker. The Steelers just signed Chris Boswell to that big deal, so you know there would be some dead money in the cap if they were to try and cut him and bring in another kicker. And you know, Tomlin's right. I mean, Boswell has been fantastic for this team in the past. If he can get through this funk, I think that is the best case scenario. But you know, again, missing another extra point is worrying, no doubt about it. Chris Boswell no longer this season the automatic 3 points that he's been in the past, but we got to stick with him at least for the next couple weeks and see if he can work himself out of this funk. Certainly he has been better recently, but still another extra point miss. Not a great sign for Boswell. And then finally here in news and notes, Antonio Brown facing two lawsuits. These both coming out on Monday. They stem from an incident in the offseason at an apartment complex that he was renting from. He allegedly trashed that apartment and nearly hit a child throwing items off the balcony. To this point, no one from the Steelers has commented on it. And when asked about it at the Tuesday press conference, Tomlin said he's not talking about it and, quote, he knows nothing about it. That second part there, the kind of I know nothing about it thing, he does this all the time. this kind of, he doesn't want to talk about something until he'll just say, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't know anything. He does this a lot with like the social media stuff. I don't want to talk about social media, like all of the off the field stuff. Tomlin just claims ignorance to it, which I get because again, it's very easy then. You can't ask him questions about it because, hey, I just don't know anything about it. But it does go to that, like, you know, Tomlin, you have this, there is a perception that you are this undisciplined, you know, the Steelers are just a Wild West and there's no authority figure in Pittsburgh. And so when Tomlin says these things like, I know nothing about it, again, it doesn't help the perception at all that Tomlin has no control over that Steeler organization. And then, you know, just talking about the Antonio Brown situation in general, look, I don't know what happened with these things. The police report came out and he's going to have to deal with these lawsuits. Again, a lot of this stems from, I guess he had money stolen from him from this apartment. And that, so he was upset about the security there and there was a setup or whatever was going on. Honestly, when I read this, it's just with the Steelers right now, it's kind of ho-hum, right? It's not even surprising that this kind of thing continues to happen for the Steelers. And by that, I mean some sort of weird off-the-field thing that has nothing to do with football just gets in the way of this team trying to get back on track. It just makes sense. I mean, it's just who the Steelers are right now. It's their personality. Again, not surprising to me in the least. And we'll see if the Steelers do anything. I mean, as far as if there's any sort of punishment from within the team or whatever, Tomlin's certainly not talking about it. So maybe not, but I don't know. I'm not. I don't know about you guys, but I'm. I just wasn't even surprised when I read this report. That is where the Steelers are right now as an organization. And then before we get to my conversation with James Rapine of Locked On Bengals, did want to give you guys an injury report based on what Tomlin said at his Tuesday press conference. That Vince Williams, Morgan Burnett, and Darius Heyward-Bey, who all missed the game against the Falcons, they are all slated to return to practice. And so Vince Williams with his hamstring, Morgan Burnett with the groin, and then Darius Heyward-Bey has that ankle injury. They're all slated to return to practice in some form or fashion. And again, I think the one there that you really have to worry about, of course, is Morgan Burnett, who's missed multiple weeks now, who has missed, you know, a lot of time during training camp and preseason and all of that, you know, has been injury riddled all season. Can he return for this game before the bye week? I think at this point, if you're the Steelers and he's got this nagging groin injury, I don't think he plays this week against Cincinnati. You have the bye week coming up. You can give him even extra rest going into that. So I would expect that Morgan Burnett, even if he's limited or even a full participant, let's say on Friday's practice, still, you know, again, is it worth it right now to play Morgan Burnett with a nagging groin injury when you have the bye week coming up? Yes, it's a big game against Cincinnati, but this team has gone without Morgan Burnett for so long now, and you know, they have a tough second half of the schedule. I would imagine Morgan Burnett unlikely to play against Cincinnati. Williams, on the other hand, Darius Heyward-Bey, I think practice participation is going to be everything there. I'd love to see Vince Williams get back into it, especially because of the fact that LJ Fort is now dealing with an ankle injury. And so that means that potentially, let's say Vince Williams is not able to go this week and LJ Fort's not able to go this week, that's going to put the Steelers down to just three healthy inside linebackers with John Bostic, Tyler Matakevich, and then Matthew Thomas. And you have to imagine at that point, I know I'm a broken record on this one, but you have to imagine at that point, we would have to see Matthew Thomas out there with the defense getting his first defensive snaps of the year. Look, LJ Fort was terrific on Sunday. I thought on passing downs, he was fantastic. He was kind of as advertised. We kind of knew he was going to be good because we had seen that from him last season in the playoff game and during training camp, during preseason. He was very good at that inside linebacker spot, especially in passing downs. So I was glad to see him play that well, but now he's got an ankle injury. And so now the question is he going to be able to practice? Is he going to be able to play? And if not, and if Williams can't go, you can't play Matakevich in those spots. And so I think it has to be Matthew Thomas at that point. And then the other player dealing with an injury coming out of this game against the Atlanta Falcons is Terrell Edmunds, who has a calf injury that Tomlin says may limit him at early parts of the week. Now that's another worrying sign because again, you have Morgan Burnett who's down with that groin injury. And as I said, I don't think you want to rush Morgan Burnett back, but I guess, you know, your hands are tied there. If Edmunds is down and Burnett is in a place where he could play if you needed him to, maybe the Steelers do have to bring Burnett back because again, without Burnett, without Edmunds, you go down to guys like Marcus Allen, Jordan Dangerfield. Of course, Nat Burr is now on injured reserve, so he's not available to this team. The Steelers have some problems here at inside linebacker and safety on a defense that has already had so many problems throughout the year, now going up against the Bengals. Not a great injury report, but again, it's very early in the week. We'll see if these guys can start practicing and coming back again. With Fort and Edmunds, from what Tomlin said on Tuesday, it doesn't sound like these guys are likely to miss the game. It's just going to be kind of missing practice or being limited early in the week in practice. And he did sound like, especially with Vince Williams and Darius Hayward-Bey, that those guys might be able to come back this week. And so, yeah, again, it's early in the week. It's too early to panic about the injury report, but just based on the positions that are on this injury report, it could leave the Steelers very thin at a couple positions. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I've been using them all year for my three-team teasers. Love to do my three-team teasers. In fact, I have my three-team tease of the week for you guys. If you're not familiar with a three-team teaser, essentially you pick three teams and you can move the line, the spread of the game, 6 points in your direction. And so this week I'll take the LA Rams over the Denver Broncos. That game is in Denver, but it's the line right now is 6.5. So you can move it to Rams by half a point, meaning all the Rams have to do is win that football game. The Rams are probably the best team in the NFL, and if not, they're the second best team right behind the Kansas City Chiefs. Going up against the Denver Broncos, I like them to win that game by 10+. So I like the Rams in that one easily. The Chiefs on Sunday Night Football are getting 3 points against the New England Patriots. Yes, that game is in New England. Yes, New England seems to be resurgent now. But man, the Kansas City Chiefs and that offense, just unstoppable right now. And the Patriots defense, of course, not great. I'm getting 9 points on a teaser for the Kansas City Chiefs. That is too enticing for what is probably the best offense in football right now. I like the Chiefs, and I like the Chiefs +9 easily. And then on Monday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers at home against the 49ers. Yes, the Packers had a bad loss last week to the Detroit Lions. That was a road game against a division opponent. This time, they're going up against the Niners at home on Monday night. I like Aaron Rodgers. The line is 9.5, but we're going to move that all the way to 3.5. I like the Packers in that one. So again, my three-team teaser, Rams, Chiefs, Packers. If you want to join MyBookie, head on over to MyBookie. They have the best player perks in the business, and right now, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And if you want to wait till after 7 p.m., they'll give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And again, if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you get that additional $25 of free play by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And then let's bring in James Rapine of Locked On Bengals. James, welcome to Locked On Steelers.
Hi, I appreciate you having me.
Big game this weekend again between the Steelers and Bengals. This is such a tough rivalry, a hard-hitting rivalry. A lot of the talk early in this week has been just how physical this matchup is going to be. The Bengals have looked very, very good to start the year. I'm sure there's a lot of excitement in Cincinnati for this game.
Yeah, there's excitement. And I think there is part of a fan base that is bought in, and there's also the rest of a fan base that is waiting to see what happens on Sunday against the Steelers, right? They're the big brother. They've won six straight in this rivalry. What happened in the playoff game at the end of the 2015 season, all of that stuff still looms large, especially because we're talking about the same coach and the same quarterback that's been around. So I think there are fans that have bought in and are excited, and others that are taking a wait-and-see approach to see what happens on Sunday against Pittsburgh.
So a lot of fans are considering this kind of a barometer type game for the Bengals. If they can get by the Steelers, then we start to believe in this team, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I just think, one, it's the Steelers, and it really is the big brother type mentality. I think that most Bengals fans assume they're going to lose because it's Pittsburgh. They assume something either goofy is going to happen if the Bengals show up and play well, or that it's just going to be as simple as the Steelers show up and the Bengals don't and the Bengals struggle. So, yes, it not only is it a barometer game, I think it is a prove-it game for the Bengals. The moment Marvin Lewis was brought back in January, a lot of Bengals fans said, screw this, I'm tired of this, I'm not going to games. And that is the reality of it, and I think a lot of them are reluctant to buy back in, and this could be one of those wins that not only gets you to 5-1 and extends your lead in the AFC North, all that stuff, but shows that this team is certainly different than it has been in years past.
And then, the Bengals have had such a hot start. They've been 4-1 this year, and they've been competitive in every football game. What, to you, has been the real catalyst this season to kind of turn the season around for the Bengals? They had a disappointing year in 2017, but this year in 2018, I mean, they have had a hot start. What's been the difference maker this year?
I think the biggest change, Tony, with this Bengals team has got to be their poise. And it sounds really cliche, but anytime week one, the Colts jumped up on them, and they're on the road, and they answered and they responded. Week two, they got out to a big lead on the Ravens, and then the Ravens stormed back and got within five, prime time, and the Bengals are known for their prime time struggles, and then they answered the call. Week three, same thing. There was something where they answered the bell. Week three, week four, week five. Now, they didn't win week three against Carolina, but they were without A.J. Green the whole second half and were within 17 yards of tying the game up in the fourth quarter after being down 14. So they've been poised when the opposing crowd's gone crazy on the road. They've played the first three or four on the road. Or something bad happened and it felt like the air was let out of the stadium week two against the Ravens. Heck, they were down 17-0 to the Dolphins on Sunday, and they were poised. They found a way to get back in it. They kept their head. So I think that going up against Pittsburgh Sunday is a really good test because, one, this Bengals team has been poised and been calm and cool under pressure or when they're down in games, even on the road. And what has been the thing that has plagued them against the Steelers, they lose their composure. And so this will be certainly a good test for a variety of reasons, obviously in the standings, but also they're poised because there's going to be times where either the Steelers are up or the Steelers are threatening and the Steelers punch them in the mouth. What happens then? Do the Bengals do what they've done in the past, or do they answer the way they've done the first 5 weeks of the season? It's going to be interesting to see.
And the Bengals offensively have been, they've been putting up some points out there. It feels like all of the weapons that they've been loading up for some time now, whether it be Tyler Boyd or Joe Mixon, of course, they still have A.J. Green, combine that with Andy Dalton. We haven't seen, Andy Dalton make the big mistakes like we've seen him make in the past. It really does feel like the Bengals have a potent offense in 2018.
Yeah, the offense has been good. They're fourth in the league in points. Obviously, the offensive line was a big offseason question mark. And that's something that's been okay. It's been better than last season. But at the same time, you look at this offensive line, and they're not great. If you look at any metrics you want to, Football Outsiders, Pro Football Focus, anything like that, it's going to show you it's a slightly probably below average offensive line. But they are serviceable, and they're giving Andy Dalton enough time. And I think the key to the offense has been Andy. You mentioned his decision-making. He's making the right decisions. The interception numbers are skewed because of one pass that went through a receiver's hands, a couple where a wide receiver stopped on a route. Those numbers, and I'm not just doing this because I'm from Locked On Bengals, Andy Dalton's interception numbers look worse than they are. So overall, I think he's played well. But the key to Andy has been him diagnosing the defense pre-snap. And in Bill Lazor's offense, it just seems like that's the key, and he's found a special connection with Tyler Boyd, which he hasn't had with a second wide receiver since 2015. And even then, it was shaky at times, even though they had Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu and plenty of weapons to throw to. With Boyd and Green, he has all the trust in the world in them, and I think we're seeing it. But at the same time, this offense now for the second week will be without Tyler Eifert. I think that hurts the offense. I think it takes down the ceiling a little bit of how good they can be. I'm not sure if Giovanni Bernard will play this week. I'd lean towards no based on what I've heard. So it might be the Joe Mixon show again, which is good. Obviously, Mixon's a really good player, but I think they'd love to have Gio out there, and certainly they'd love to have Tyler Eifert out there as well.
Before we continue, I want to let you guys know about Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And for you Steeler fans, that means a trip to Heinz Field. There is nothing like seeing this team in person in Heinz Field. It is an experience unlike any other. And if you've already been to Heinz Field, you're just looking for a great price on tickets, look no further. You can sort by price. You can look for seats in the section and row of your choice. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% guarantee. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I want to start by talking about who I think is probably the defensive rookie of the year so far, Jesse Bates. And it hurts to hear for Steeler fans who, myself included, I was all in on the Steelers potentially bringing in Jesse Bates in the draft. Of free safety, such a position of need for the Steelers. Can you talk a bit about how Jesse Bates has done in that Bengals secondary?
Jesse Bates has been great. Jesse Bates has been as advertised and then some. And I honestly, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, how many of us watch Wake Forest football?
Yeah.
You know, not many of us watch Wake Forest football. And I'm not the biggest draft analyst out there. I love the draft. I try to pay attention as much as possible. At the same time, I didn't know much about Jesse Bates. I had seen some of him during the draft and all the combine stuff. But he's been awesome. I mean, his ball skills, he's had a couple of interceptions through the first 5 weeks. He's been around to make plays on the ball, always around the ball, showed good athleticism. And the knock on him coming out of college was his tackling. And he's only, according to Pro Football Focus, missed two tackles this year.
Wow.
So far. So he's been really efficient when it comes to tackling. Hasn't been afraid to come up and deliver a big hit. And the Bengals have bent on defense a lot, especially on the road against Atlanta, especially on the road against Carolina. Those are two really bad weeks for the defense. Bates was one of the consistents of that defense, or the constants, I guess you could say, of a defense that has been pretty inconsistent to start the year. He's been a bright spot, and he's been pretty good every game. So I really like Bates. I like what he's brought, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the future, because if he's this good after 5 weeks, I wonder how he's going to be a year from now, 2 years from now. I think the Bengals got it right in the second round.
Yeah, he's been terrific so far. And I think the Steelers are missing that kind of playmaker in their secondary. Just generally speaking, how are you looking for this Bengals defense to attack the Steeler offense or just match up against a high-powered Steeler offense?
I think the key, obviously, you got to get pressure on Ben with that defensive line, which – naturally, that's it. But the key and something that the Bengals did last week against the Dolphins that they hadn't and weren't able to do against the Falcons was stick with the wide receivers, right? I mean, it was, and part of that could be Atlanta's wide receivers much better than the Miami Dolphins wide receivers. But I think part of it was Atlanta's just a different team at home than they are on the road. That offense in that dome with that crowd, they just play different. Matt Ryan plays different. And William Jackson struggled a bit to start this year, and so did Dre Kirkpatrick. They need those guys to hold up their end of the bargain against Pittsburgh because otherwise your pass rush can't get there. And that was the problem early on this year is the defensive line, which is really good for the Bengals. Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, all those different, Carl Lawson, Jordan Willis, all these guys can rush the passer. But they weren't getting home and they weren't getting sacks and sometimes weren't even getting pressures because the ball was coming out of the quarterback's hands so quickly because the cornerbacks weren't holding up their end of the bargain. So I think the first thing is you need your secondary to play well against Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington, who I think is a really good player. I loved him coming out of the draft, and I thought that was a good fit in Pittsburgh. The second thing is naturally if you get the Big Ben, you're going to have to bring him down, which is much easier said than done. And then the last one, and James Conner, my fantasy football team loves James Conner because he breaks tackles, he makes people miss, and he's played fairly well. I mean, obviously he had a really big game last week, but overall I think he's been a good, serviceable replacement for Le'Veon Bell, at least from the outside looking in. And the Bengals let Christian McCaffrey run for 184 yards on him. Vontaze Burfict is back. It's his second week. They can't allow James Conner in that running game to get going because if that happens, it's going to open it up for Juju Smith-Schuster. It's going to open it up for Antonio Brown. It's going to open it up for Vance McDonald. So I think those are some of the keys to this game, and it starts with the secondary. Can the Bengals secondary stick with the Steelers' options at wide receiver, their pass-catching options? It'll be interesting to see.
James, appreciate you coming on. Before I let you go, I want to ask you, who is a sleeper player on the Bengals that Steeler fans should be looking out for on Sunday in this matchup?
A sleeper on offense or defense or either?
Either side.
I would say, and I don't want to jinx him, but I think that John Ross being in this game matters a ton for the Bengals offense. And he missed last week with a groin injury, and I noticed that the Miami defense pretty much crashed down on this Bengals offense and had 10 guys within the first 8 yards or so of the line of scrimmage, which hurts Joe Mixon. It hurts Tyler Boyd in the slot. It affects A.J. Green. It affects everything. And so having a deep threat out there, even if he doesn't have an impact, even if he doesn't have five catches, you know, or doesn't have a deep touchdown or anything like that, just having him out there, I think it is super important because it opens it up for Tyler Boyd. It opens things up for the tight ends because without Eifert, C.J. Uzomah is good, Tyler Kroft is good. They aren't Tyler Eifert. So having Ross back, if they can get him back, and I'll know more probably Wednesday evening on whether or not he's healthy enough to go this week, I think that's a really huge, kind of under-the-radar thing, in Pittsburgh. And if you're a Steeler fan and you see Ross is out, I think that's really good news going into Sunday.
Hey, James, let people know where they can find your work on the internet.
Yep, at Locked On Bengals on Twitter, at James Rapine on Twitter, and LockedOnBengals.com. I also host a show on ESPN 1530, noon to 1, every single weekday in Cincinnati. So if you want more on the Bengals, you can check us out noon to 1 every single weekday.
All right, appreciate you coming on.
Cool. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. All right, and that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter at SteelerCountry. Tomorrow here on Locked On Steelers, I am joined by Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports. He and I are going to break down everything that's happened over the first 5 weeks and get Chris's take on where this team is right now heading into this big matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals. So we'll do that tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.